What does Christmas mean to you? What does Christmas mean to you? If I'd ask you that question, and I just have, what would you answer? If you would ask a random person out on the street, what does Christmas mean to you? You'd get quite a few different answers from different people, wouldn't you? For some people would say, well, Christmas means to me Christmas trees. We enjoy going to the tree farm and cutting down a Christmas tree, or perhaps different families would pull out the box and put together the Christmas tree. People would say, well, Christmas means spending time together decorating your tree. Maybe it means not just decorating your tree, maybe it means decorating your whole house. I know the kids and I and Kayla, we had an enjoyable time last night looking at some of the Christmas lights. And some of those houses, they're all decked out, aren't they? And it's not just the lights. Sometimes there are the blow-ups that are really large. Sometimes there are the figurines and the bows and all sorts of decorations. Maybe that's what Christmas means to some people. For others, Christmas is more about what's under the tree than the tree itself. The gifts that you receive, the gifts that you give, those are the things that define Christmas for quite a few people. You have the homemade treasures. You have the technological wonders. December 25th, for many people, is the day of gifts, both large and small. Now, others would look forward to Christmas because it's a time for family and friends to get together. And yes, the food is good, but they would say the fellowship is even better. Just to take time to talk and to make memories, that's what Christmas is about. That's how some people would respond. Yet others come to Christmas with a heavy heart. Because it may seem that Christmas is a time when everyone is celebrating and rejoicing and having a good time. It's simply not the case. Many people during this Christmas season are sad and they're grieving at Christmas because their loved ones are no longer with them. And Christmas is a time that's filled with precious memories of the past, but yet the present is a far different picture for some people. When some people have the question asked to them, what does Christmas mean to you? They respond with the answer, well, it doesn't mean anything to me. It's just another day of the year. That's how some people would respond. Or some might say with a bit of irritation in their voice, Christmas is a time when people try to push their religious beliefs on me. Some people would prefer the generic greeting, Happy Holidays, instead of Merry Christmas, because they don't want to have anything to do with Christmas and Christ. So there are so many different ways, and many more than I have mentioned today, many different ways that a person can view Christmas. Now, I think all of us would agree Christmas is a special time of year. It's a time when wonderful memories are made. It's often a time when we have get-togethers with family. It's a time to give and receive gifts. But more important than all the family traditions, all the fun music, all the special activities, more important than all of those things, is the wonderful significance of December 25th. It is a day to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus, He is the Son of God. Jesus is the Savior of the world. What does Christmas mean to you? For you, is Christmas a day to remember Jesus' birth? Do you take extra time during this time of year, and especially on December 25th, do you take extra time to consider the amazing thing that God did whenever He sent His Son to this earth? Whenever Jesus became man, the perfect God-man, and dwelt among us? Do you marvel at the priceless gift that Jesus is to fallen humanity? Are you astounded at the humility of Jesus, the condescension of the Son? Because He became not only a man, but He became a lowly servant. Are you overjoyed at the thought that our sins are forgiven in Jesus when we trust in Him? Are you just overwhelmed at the thought that we have eternal life, and we have that eternal life, and it's only possible because Jesus was born and Jesus died and then rose again? It's because of Jesus and His birth, His death, His resurrection, that wretched sinners like me, and like so many others, in fact, all of us are wretched sinners when we're born into this world. Wretched sinners, though, are able to be reconciled with the Holy God because of Jesus. So what does Christmas mean to you? If you're honest with yourself this morning, how would you respond? Would you have to admit that Christmas is more about the gifts? It's more about the family traditions? It's more about the decorations and the music and the memories? Would you have to admit that these things are more important to you than the fact that Jesus is the one who was born so long ago, the one who was born and then grew up and then died and rose again? Sometimes Christmas is more about the presents and the lights and the traditions than it is about Jesus. But this morning I encourage you, I challenge you, as we look ahead to Friday, Christmas Day, let's have our minds focused upon Jesus Christ. As we anticipate Christmas, let us look back to that first Christmas, that day when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Whenever Jesus was born a long time ago, there were people that responded to his birth in quite a few different ways. And this morning, let's consider some of those responses of various people. And may God grant us the grace to even follow the good examples of those that we read about in Luke chapter 2. I've just read in our scripture reading, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And if you have your Bibles open, that's great. If you don't have them open yet, I invite you to open with me to Luke chapter 2 and verses 1 through 20. If you're using one of our pew Bibles, it's page 1180. So as I have just read this passage, it's very fresh in your memories, I trust, that Luke described for us the circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus. We have the arrival of Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem. We have the child's birth, the baby Jesus. And Jesus was born in less than ideal conditions, wasn't he? This baby, who was the king of all, was placed in a manger, in a feeding trough, a place where the animals would eat. That was the baby's bed. Yet he was king of all. Now, soon after the birth of the baby Jesus, there's an angel of the Lord that appeared to some shepherds. These shepherds were watching over their flocks by night, and the angel declared that on that very day, a Savior had been born in the city of David. This Savior was none other than Christ the Lord. And this baby that had been born, he would stand out from all the other babies in Bethlehem because he'd be wrapped in swaddling clothes. He'd be placed in a manger. Now, as soon as that angel had made that declaration, there are many more heavenly angels that made their appearance. And they were praising God. They were giving glory to God's name. The birth of Jesus was a joyous occasion. The birth of Jesus would bring peace to the earth. It would bring great blessings to those upon whom God's favor rested. So it's in this context that we come to our passage this morning, verses 15 through 20 of Luke chapter 2. Jesus was born. His birth was announced to the shepherds. But yet, how would the shepherds respond? What did the message of Jesus' birth mean to the shepherds? Did they view it as unimportant? Did they easily dismiss it? Or was this the most exciting news ever? What did Jesus' birth mean to the shepherds? How did they respond? Well, look at verses 15 and 16. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now the amazing message that the shepherds received, it was truly astounding. It was out of this world. The contents of that message, the contents were incredible. As we think about those who bore the message to them, who proclaimed it to them, the messengers were amazing too, weren't they? They were angels from heaven in all their glory. Just an incredible event that these shepherds experienced. The angels announced the birth of the Messiah, the one who is both Savior and Lord. So the angels declared the message. They told the shepherds about Jesus' birth. They told the shepherds where Jesus might be found. The angels made it very clear, this is joyous news. This is life-changing news. But yet the angels did not command the shepherds to go find Jesus. The angels did not take the shepherds by the hand and lead them directly to where Mary and Joseph and the baby were. No, the angels simply shared the message. They praised the Lord. And then what did they do? They went back to heaven, didn't they? So the shepherds are now alone after the angels have departed. They are once again enveloped in the blackness of the night. So how would they respond to this message from the angels? What did the news of Jesus' birth mean to them? Well, the news meant a lot to them, didn't it? They began talking with one another. They said, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has come to pass. This thing that God has made known unto us." See, the shepherds were not dull of hearing. They had heard very plainly what the angels had said. They understood that this was something very important. Not only did the shepherds hear with their physical ears, but I believe their spiritual ears were also open. I think their hearts were receptive to this message. They believed that what the angels said was true. They were excited. They were eager to act upon these joyous tidings. See, God had revealed something wonderful to them, and they had to go now and see it with their own eyes. So with haste, with the quickest of responses, maybe even with the greatest of speed, the shepherds left their flocks. They came to the little town of Bethlehem, and they knew exactly what they were looking for, the newborn Savior. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was lying in a manger. Now, we don't know how much effort it took the shepherds to find Jesus. We don't know how much time it took either. But they did find him, along with his mother Mary and along with Joseph as well. So on that first Christmas night, the shepherds very plainly declared by their actions and their words what Jesus' birth meant to them. Both their words and their actions speak volumes to us today. As we consider what Luke tells us in this passage, is there any doubts in your minds or in your hearts that the shepherds received the angel's message by faith? They accepted it as a true message. And not only did they believe what God said to them, I'm convinced that they responded with joy, with excitement, and with zeal. They eagerly desired to go and see this with their own eyes. What they had heard with their ears, they wanted to see with their eyes. Now we might think, well, anybody under those circumstances would respond right away and go to Bethlehem and see the Christ child and worship him, right? Anybody would respond that way, right? Surely that's the case. But let's not jump to conclusions. Let's think about the time the shepherds received this message. Was it a convenient time for the shepherds to leave and go see Jesus? When was it? It was the middle of the night, right? Or at least it was the night. I don't know if it was the middle of the night or not. But it was in the night. It was dark. Wouldn't it have been much easier for the shepherds to wait until daybreak so the sun could shine its bright rays upon the earth and they could go in daylight to find Jesus and his mother Mary and Joseph? Wouldn't that be much easier, much more convenient? Doesn't that make much more sense? But no, the shepherds left right away. This is important. This is urgent. In the darkness of the night, they left to find baby Jesus. Now, whenever the shepherds left, did they bring all of their sheep with them? What do you think? We don't know for sure. I'm guessing they probably did not bring all of their sheep with them into Bethlehem. Did they leave one or two of their number? So I'm not sure how many shepherds there were. But did they leave a couple behind to watch over the sheep? Or did they realize this is such amazing news, such joyous tidings, that all the shepherds left and they trusted God to keep their sheep safe? We don't know for sure. But what we do know is that the shepherds had compelling urgency to go see Jesus. The shepherds believed God. They responded to God's message with joy and excitement and urgency. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But does everybody respond to the news, the good news of Jesus, in the way the shepherds responded? Not everybody does. I'm reminded of a passage that talks about an event some months later. And remember when the wise man, the Magi, came to Jerusalem, and they came to King Herod, and they asked King Herod, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" That's the question that the wise men asked. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? And how did King Herod respond? Did he respond with joy, and did he want to go see Jesus immediately to worship him? The answer is no. King Herod responded with fear. He responded with deceitful cunning and with an evil plan. See, King Herod, even though he was a man that should have known better, King Herod had no desire to come and worship the child Jesus. King Herod rather wanted to destroy Jesus, to kill him, because King Herod viewed Jesus as competition, as somebody who might throw him off of his throne and take away his rulership. King Herod did not view Jesus as a blessing. So not everybody responds to good news like the shepherds did. But what a great testimony for the shepherds to respond as they did. They believed God's message. They responded to that message with excitement, with joy, and with urgency. They left with haste to see Jesus with their own eyes. Oh, that people today would respond as the shepherds did. Whenever people today hear the message of Jesus, oh, that they would respond with faith and with joy and with urgency. May they accept what God has revealed about Jesus in His Word. God has told us so much about Jesus in the Bible. But how many people believe what God has written in His Word? There are far too many people that don't believe. People today need to hear the truth about Jesus, His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection. May those who hear about Jesus respond with faith, with excitement, with joy, with urgency. May they accept Jesus for who He is, the Savior of the world, the Lord of the earth, and the Lord of heaven. Jesus is God incarnate. People today need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But how many people today, whenever they hear about the news of Jesus, do they just dismiss it, disbelieve it, and say, oh, that's for you to believe, but I'm not going to believe that. But the shepherds, they accepted God's message and they responded with action. Now, the shepherds didn't know nearly as much about Jesus as we do today, but they did know that that little baby in the manger was the Savior, the Lord, the one who brings joy and peace to this earth. They had heard about Jesus. Now they had seen Jesus with their own eyes. What they had seen and what they had heard led them to tell others about Jesus. So we look at verse 17 now. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So we already know that Jesus' birth meant a lot to the shepherds. They heard the message from the angels and they accepted it by faith. They responded with urgency. They left their flocks. They went to Bethlehem. They found the baby Jesus. There's no doubt in my mind that they worshipped Him. And now that they have seen it, what is their response? They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So I think that the shepherds initially responded with faith to the message. But can you imagine the joy of the shepherds whenever they came and they found Jesus? What joy and worship and adoration. What they had heard was confirmed with their very own eyes. Now, I don't know how long the shepherds had stayed with Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. But whenever it came time for them to leave, I don't know if it was late at night, whether it was early in the morning. Now, how many people did they meet? Either there at the stable or as they left. But what we do know is everybody they met, they told about what the angels had told them. They told about what they had seen there. They had seen Jesus, the Savior. So even after that night, even after that day, in the days following, I'm sure the shepherds were very eager to tell all the people in the towns and the cities and the countryside about this child Jesus, about what they had heard from the angel, what they had seen. And I imagine as they told that good news about Jesus, there's a gleam in their eye. There's a look of amazement and wonder as they told them, the people, about the good tidings of great joy. This joy would be all to all people as they accepted Jesus. In the city of David, a Savior had been born. This is Christ the Lord. This is the one who would bring glory to God and peace to men on earth. So what did Jesus' birth mean to the shepherds? It meant so much to them that they told everyone they met. They told everyone about Jesus. So as we think about the shepherds and we think about the world in which they lived, what did the world think about the shepherds? Were the shepherds people that were highly esteemed? Far from it. The shepherds in many ways were despised and they weren't trusted. By and large, the whole world would have looked down upon the shepherds. Many would not have trusted them. But that didn't stifle the shepherds' enthusiasm. They had a message to tell the world and they spread the word about Jesus. There was an exalted message that they had. This exalted message was about the lowly birth of Jesus. And this lowly birth of Jesus, the one who in fact is the Lord of glory, this lowly birth of Jesus was proclaimed. By whom? By the lowly shepherds. So we today would do well to follow the shepherds' example. The shepherds were not well educated. They were not high-standing members of their world. They weren't necessarily gifted when it came to talking. They may not have been people persons. But God showed them something that they had to share with the world. They could not keep this news to themselves. The birth of the Savior must be broadcast far and wide. People need to hear the news. This is great news. This is joyous news. This is life-changing news. And the shepherds proclaimed it with joy and urgency to everybody they met. Now today you know that Jesus has been born, right? There's no one here in this room that does not know that Jesus has been born. In fact, we know what happened after Jesus' birth. We could read, continuing on in the book of Luke, and we know that Jesus lived on this earth. And as Jesus lived on this earth, he taught with authority and with power. He performed countless miracles. He cast out demons. Jesus showed himself to be the Son of God with power. We know that Jesus willingly submitted himself to the Father's plan. And that plan led to the cross. And Jesus died not for any sins that he had committed, not for any crimes that he had done. Jesus died for my sin and for your sin and for the sin of the whole world. And Jesus died, but he didn't stay in the grave. He rose again, didn't he? Jesus couldn't stay in that grave. Jesus had defeated the stranglehold of sin and death upon the world. And God raised him from the dead. And now Jesus is in heaven. And one day he will return. And so this is what we know today. This is what God has told us in his word. What are we going to do with that message? Is this a message to keep to ourselves? Is it a secret that must not be told anyone? Not by any means. This is a message that must be proclaimed far and wide. Sadly, though, there are times that we keep it to ourselves. But this is a message not to keep to ourselves. This is a message to share with the people of Norwoodville. This is a message that is to be shared further north in Ankeny. This is a message that must be shared as we go a little bit south to Des Moines. We must share the good news of Jesus, not just about his birth, although his birth is a very important part of Jesus' life and the salvation that he provides. Jesus was born. That's what Christmas is about. And people know that. But do people understand why Jesus was born? Do they understand why Jesus died? Do people understand that Jesus rose again? Do they understand? Do they accept Jesus as their own Savior? Have they trusted Jesus as the only one who can forgive them of their sins? Now, the shepherds had a message to proclaim, and they proclaimed it with urgency and with joy. How about us today? Are we faithful in spreading the good news, not just about Jesus' birth, but about his death, his resurrection, eternal life in him? Now, as the shepherds shared the good news with the people that they came in contact with, we read that the people responded. Now, how did they respond? We read their response in verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So as we think about the people that the shepherds came in contact with, as those people heard the report from the shepherds, how did they respond? As they heard the joyous words of the shepherds, as they saw in their eyes that gleam of excitement, they responded with wonder and amazement. They were astonished. And they no doubt were thinking in their minds, and maybe they were asking one another, what is this thing that the shepherds have heard? What is this thing that the shepherds have seen? What an incredible story this is. Heavenly angels displayed in all their glory, speaking with these lowly shepherds. What a message this angel proclaimed to them. What a sight the shepherds seen, the baby Jesus. This baby who is the Savior of the world, lying in a feeding trough. What a message that is. I'm sure people responded in that way. Now, this story is indeed an incredible story. But I would like to know how many of the people that heard the shepherd's reports, how many people actually followed up and searched out for the baby Jesus and for Mary and Joseph? How many people of all those that the shepherds talked to, how many of them took action to try to find Jesus? I don't know. How many people, when they heard the news from the shepherds, how many of them were spurred to action and went to the place where the Torah and the Word of God was held, how many of them searched the Scriptures or asked the religious authorities about the coming Messiah? How many of them, these people that heard the report of the shepherds, how many of them were driven to forsake sin in their own lives and to pursue instead pursue a holy life because of what they had heard from the shepherds? Now, of those that heard the words of the shepherds, they all responded with wonder and amazement. But how many of them, as they responded with wonder and amazement, after hearing the story, just continued on with their lives? Yes, they were amazed at the initial hearing of the report, but then it was lunchtime, where it was time to go work on that yoke and finish the project of making the yoke for the oxen. Or maybe it was time to meet together with family. And people just got caught up with all their daily activities, and that message which initially caused amazement is now a forgotten thing of the past. I'm afraid many people responded that way. Initial amazement and wonder, but then they just continued on with life as normal. How many people today hear the message of Jesus and they wonder what they hear as they think about the events surrounding Jesus' birth? Those events are full of intrigue and wonder and amazement. There's no doubt God is at work in the world, and God was at work when the Lord Jesus was born. And Jesus is no ordinary person. Jesus is the Savior. He's the Lord. And people rightfully should be standing in awe and amazement and wonder at Jesus. And even more so should they be in amazement when they hear about His life and His death and His resurrection. So wonder at the life of Jesus, at hearing about Him, His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection. Wonder is an appropriate response. But that must not be our only response. People might be amazed when they hear the story of Jesus, but their response must go beyond amazement. They need to respond with belief, with genuinely trusting in Jesus. They need to humbly accept the revelation that God has given. They need to accept that Jesus is not just a baby in a manger. Jesus is the Savior who died for each person, so that we can be right with God. People need to respond not just with amazement, but with trust and obedience. So the people who heard the shepherds, they were filled with wonder as they heard about Jesus' birth. Now Luke tells us another response, as we read in our passage here, verse 19. It's the response of Mary, the child's mother. And if we'd asked Mary, even this morning, what did Jesus' birth mean to you? What did it mean to you that very night? What would she say? Now, we don't have a testimony from Mary in so many words, but we do find out that she responded in a certain way, as we read in verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We realize the shepherds responded to the message they heard by taking action and going to Bethlehem. They sought out the child. They saw the child. They told others what they had seen and heard. The people that they told, they responded with amazement. But how did Mary respond? Mary kept all these things, treasured them up within her heart. She pondered them in her heart. She mulled over them over and over and over. She meditated upon all the things that she had heard and all the things that she had seen. She reflected upon these things. And in a way, we could say that Mary tried to connect the dots. You know, she had heard what the angel initially told her even before the miraculous conception of Jesus. She had heard a message from Gabriel, right? So she mulled over what Gabriel had told her. I'm sure she continually mulled that over. But now we have the birth of Jesus. And the shepherds come, and the shepherds are sharing what the angel had told them. So Mary had heard what the shepherds said. She's mulling over these things in her mind as well. And there's no doubt in my mind that Mary knew that this was a special child, this child in the feeding trough. She knew that this is a special child. She knew that God's hand was at work. But yet, Mary didn't fully understand who Jesus is and the significance of this little baby that was in that feeding trough. She didn't understand how that little one would grow up to be the Messiah, to be the world's Savior. She didn't understand all of that. Now, Mary received a lot of revelation from God. She saw a lot of things. She experienced so much. She gave birth to the Savior. But all that she had experienced, all that she had heard, all that she saw, she treasured it up within her heart. She pondered upon it. She mulled it over in her mind and in her heart. It's as if somebody had given her a bunch of puzzle pieces, and she's trying to piece each piece together to find the overall picture of what God is doing through Jesus. Mary, no doubt, is wondering, how would God's plan be fulfilled through this child of mine? Mary treasured. She pondered upon all these things surrounding Jesus' birth. That's a necessary response. That's a noble response of Mary. Now, Mary didn't perfectly understand her son Jesus. And later on, as we read in the Gospel of Mark, in other Gospels as well, we realize Mary had a far from complete understanding concerning her son Jesus. But yet she's human as well, isn't she? She's human just like you and I. So she didn't understand all about Jesus. But she was doing her best to grasp the truth concerning Jesus, her son, that was so little lying in that manger. So if Mary was to grasp what God had told her and shown her, she needed to treasure it and ponder upon it. That's what Mary did. How well it is for us to follow Mary's example. So we have God's truth. What should we do with God's truth? We should treasure it in our hearts. We should store it up. Not that we don't tell others about it, but we store it up within our hearts and then we ponder upon it. We mull over the truths and the wonders of God's Word, the wonders of Jesus, His birth, His life, His death and resurrection, to mull over the details of Scripture, to connect the dots, to put the pieces together so that we can more fully understand who Jesus is, what He has done, the salvation He has provided for us. Now, in many ways, we today know more about Jesus than Mary did. We have a fuller picture because we have the entire Word of God, don't we? So we can read all the way through the Gospels and into the epistles of Paul and Peter and James, and we can learn a lot more about Jesus. We have a lot of truth about Him. What should we do with that truth? Treasure it in our hearts, mold it over in our minds and in our hearts. We don't have a perfect understanding of Jesus, do we? But we want to grow in our understanding. So what's required? To treasure the truth, to ponder upon it. So as we think of Christmas, as we think about the days leading up to it, it's a crazy time of year, right? We get busy with shopping, with decorations, and family get-togethers, and any number of things. Do we get so busy at Christmas time that we neglect to sit down to ponder upon the truth of who Jesus is and what He has done? Do you want to fully know Jesus? In this side of heaven, we aren't going to fully know Jesus, but we can strive to know Him more and more, can't we? So what did Jesus' birth mean to Mary? There's no doubt that Jesus' birth meant a lot to her, and she committed herself to understand all the better who her son was and how God would use him. Now, there's one more response that we want to look at this morning, verse 20. We have the response of the shepherds once again. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The shepherds had seen the incarnate Son of God lying in a feeding trough. They had set their own eyes upon the Lord and upon the Savior. And they returned, no doubt going back to their flocks. And as they returned, their hearts were full. And they glorified God. They praised Him for all that they had seen and all they had heard. Everything that had been told them was exactly as it was. You know, the angels had told them, this is how it would be. And all of it was fulfilled exactly as it was told them. All of it was confirmed. The shepherds rejoiced. They praised. They gave honor to God. They lifted up their voices. They praised His holy name. How could the shepherds do anything less? God had done a work, and the shepherds had been privileged to hear and see what God was doing. They had seen the newborn Savior. So the shepherds gave glory. They praised God. There's no one that could question what the birth of Jesus meant to the shepherds. Everybody would have clearly understood that the birth of Jesus impacted the shepherds to a great extent. But how about us today? If people would listen to our words, if they'd watch us live our lives, how would they answer the question, what does Christmas mean to you? if they would look at our lives and somebody would ask, well, what does Christmas mean to Phil? Or what would Christmas mean? What does Christmas mean to Cleve here? You know, how would people respond just by looking at how he talks and what he does in his life, how he lives? There should be no doubt in people's minds as they hear our words, as they see us live our lives, that we have been impacted not by just the birth of Jesus, but by Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection. God has changed us. We have been born again because we've trusted in Jesus. Do we praise and glorify God because of Jesus? May we give honor and praise to God. Jesus is the Savior. He's the Lord. Jesus' birth is nothing short of amazing. Jesus' life is incredible. His death and resurrection are life-giving. May we glorify and praise God, the one who gives us life in Jesus. So as we look ahead to this coming Friday, Christmas Day, December 25th, what does Christmas mean to you? Is it mostly just about Christmas trees and the fun decorations and the giving and the receiving of gifts? Is it mostly about family and friends and happy traditions? You know, those are great things about Christmas, but all those things should pale in importance to the birth of Jesus Christ and salvation in Him. May God direct our hearts to focus on what is truly important this Christmas season. Lord, we thank You for the many good examples in Luke chapter 2. May we have active faith, a zealous testimony. May we have worshipful tongues like the shepherds. May we treasure and ponder the truth just like Mary did. In all of this, may God's name be glorified, not only on Christmas, but every day of the year.